Our last case this morning is Software v. Apple and Motorola Mobility, 2023-1006 and 1008. Mr. Burnett again.
May it please the Court. This case presents issues of first impression, including considerations of applicants' admitted prior art in inter-parties re-examination, and whether a board, ineffectively substituting itself on behalf of a third-party requester, may enter or adopt a new ground of rejection under 37 CFR section 41.77, comprising a repackaged version of a ground proposed by the three-part that was properly not adopted by the examiner as barred under 37 CFR 41.67C16. In addition, in view of the board's rejection is wholly lacking substantial evidence. Appellee's attempt to introduce evidence the board did not cite in its decisions and asserts positions and justifications that were not taken by the board. That evidence and counsel's post hoc rationalizations for agency action cannot be considered in this appeal under Shinnery, Burlington Truck Lines, and other cases. So first I'd like to briefly address the APA, applicants admitted prior art. The grounds for rejection in an inter-party re-examination do not include applicants admitted prior art, which is not a printed publication. As this court held in a similar case involving use of an applicants admitted prior art in an IPR, and in that case was Quantum Inc. versus Apple Inc. Said parties prior art consistent of patents or printed publications under 311B, such statement may form the basis of a ground in your parties review.
How about the other ground of rejection?
Okay, the HTML 4.0?
Yes.
Okay, so one more brief comment about AAPA. The AAPA is a Mozilla rendering engine, which is source code, which is not a printed publication. That should end the inquiry right there.
But a reference or a prior art, something in the prior art can be used as background without being
technically a
reference. I understand that here the board at one point at least specifically identified Mozilla as a reference. So that seems to cut against them in
It actually identified it as being a base.
Wouldn't it be sufficient if they were to characterize it unambiguously as background information and not use it as a reference in light of
they could recipes? They could characterize it as the background information, but they
but they the also new, they also denominated
the new grounds they said it's the basis.
Yeah.
And probably you would have to use it as a basis. So switching to HTML4 and CSS.
But you would agree that they could characterize it. If they characterize it and used it as the background information, that would be fine, right?
It would be, they could do so. I'm not sure exactly what they would use for it, but regardless, that's not what they did. Moving forward to the second new ground, HTML4. Okay, so they propose that claims directed to preserving layout aspects relating to cascading style sheets, CSS, is taught by the HTML 4.0 specification. So the HTML 4.0 specification, which is volume V, and it is 350 pages, including the glossary at the end. And there is a section 14, called Style Sheets. And it discusses style sheets, does not provide any information on how style sheets are implemented. Style sheets, the specifications for implementing style sheets are separate specifications, and those are in Appendix VI-6, and they include CSS1 and CSS2. CSS2 is much more comprehensive than CSS1. There are certain tags in HTML4 that require CSS2, which are related to tables. There's Safi's position is that nobody, even great skill in the art, could implement CSS or claims requiring preservation of CSS aspects of the code based on the HTML4 specification. And this issue has already been before the court in an ex parte re-examination where claims 29 were found patentable over the art. And in fact, under that case is a 994 ex parte re-examination. The board reversed the examiner on claim 29 based on evidence that was provided in the declaration by Wolf Scott Collins. And in this re-examination, the declaration provided by Wolf, and now I'm referring to the gray brief, page 26, in the rebuttal brief, referencing Wolf, and this is at appendix 2254 through 2255, Wolf asserted, Alfaceta in 2000 to 2001 could not have modified PAD++ to implement the numerous unsupported HTML elements to produce an HTML 3.2 browser, much less an HTML4/4.01 browser. Alfaceta in 2000-2001 would also not attempt to write original code to support HTML4, CSS1, or CSS2. And there would be no chance that such an attempt would have succeeded without undue experimentation. It took a team of highly skilled developers and software engineers 50-plus man years to develop the first version of Gecko, that's a code name for Mozilla's rendering engine, that was released in the commercial web browser Netscape Navigator 6, November 2000. Then, as Wolf alluded to in an Ars Technical article, it would have been insane for Apple to have written rendering engine from scratch. Sofiu argues that there's no evidence whatsoever on the record that Alfaceta could have taken the HTML4 specification and modified the browser in that PAD++ had and would have had any motivation to do so, would have had any reasonable expectation of success. Also, the PDAs of record are in the PA communicator, a Palm 7 and an Apple Newton, and those have wholly insufficient memory to even put the PAD++, the operating system you need for PAD++, which would be Linux or Unix, and just by itself, and now you're talking about adding a rendering engine that's supporting HTML4 and at least some level of CSS because the claims require CSS. It's not rational. There's no evidence of record that the board points to support its conclusion that this could be done. It merely that they suggested we can do this so Alfaceta could do it. I'd like to move on to claims 64 and 66. So briefly, part of the argument here is that the examiner and the board show evidence in this Tor document, which was a web page, that shows a zoomed out view and a zoomed in view. And in particular, that is, those views are shown on blue brief pages 76 and 77. Now the way PAD++ worked is that you press down a middle button or right, I think it's the right button, you press down to zoom in and the zoom would interactively zoom in until you see or I've zoomed in how much I want, and then it stops. And there's no evidence of this being done in response to tapping, and the examiner's not indicated that it's done in response to tapping. In fact, the examiner argues that the claim isn't limited to only tapping, and SoftView argues otherwise, that it is in response to tapping that it has to do the zoom. You can't do manual zooming after the tapping operation and meet the claims. Now, another thing that the board argues is that because the claims don't specify, don't have the words bounding box in the claims, that somehow this could be implemented without a bounding box for a column or a paragraph. Fundamental to any graphical user interface is you need a bounding box for all the input objects or items that you're going to interface with. Otherwise, the system doesn't know what it is that you're tapping on. You need a bounding box. They don't explain how you could do it without it. And there's no argument that PAD++ couldn't interpret columns. And as we saw, if you presented the way PAD++ handled paragraphs, as it would take a paragraph, it'd see a paragraph tag, and it would start creating individual text items one line at a time, and so it never created a bounding box for a paragraph.
You're about to get into your rebuttal time. You can continue or save it as you wish.
I'll save it.
Mr. Sagdea, was it?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the Court. This is SoftView's third attempt at this Court to defend the claims of the 926 patent. But SoftView's arguments have no more merit than those that this Court rejected in 2015 and 2021. There's no single issue with which SoftView can secure reversal or remand. Instead, SoftView's appeal fails for multiple independent reasons. For example, Rule 42.73 estoppel allows this Court to affirm the Board on all claims without reaching any other issue. And even putting aside regulatory estoppel, the Court still doesn't need to reach many of SoftView's arguments. For example, SoftView's challenge to the Board's new Ground 2 rejection is essentially factual, and SoftView has not shown the new Ground 2 rejection to lack substantial evidence. By affirming on new Ground
2... This is the HTML ground, right?
That's correct, yeah. By affirming on new Ground 2, the Court need not reach any of SoftView's new Ground 1 arguments, including SoftView's admitted prior art challenge. The Court should similarly reject SoftView's fact-bound challenge to regarding claims 64 and 66 because substantial evidence supports the Board's rejection of those claims. Regarding new Ground 2, SoftView takes issue with the Board's factual findings pertaining to PAD++ and the HTML4 standard. But the Board explained at Appendix 38 that in a single printed publication, the HTML4 standard provides information with respect to both HTML documents and the improvement of HTML document appearance using cascading style sheets. The Board similarly explained at Appendix 39 that because PAD++ describes itself as an HTML browser, and the HTML4 standard relates to the same markup language, the references' teachings are compatible, such that a person of skill in the art would have had a reasonable expectation of success in combining them. The Board therefore had substantial evidence from which to find claims 29 and 78 unpatentable. Unless the Board has any questions...
We're not the Board.
Sorry, unless the Court has any questions... Appellees Apple and Motorola respectfully request that this Court affirm the Board.
No one ever loses points by not using up all that time.
But you do lose points calling us the Board.
Apologies, Your Honor. I should have known better.
Thank you, Mr. Sagdeo.
It's my first time.
Mr. Burnett has some rebuttal time.
First, regarding CFR 42.73 D3I, this was argued extensively in the oral hearing for these two for the appeals for the this particular appeal here. And in during the those oral hearings, the board was hinting, hey, we're going to go and we're going to apply this here. SoftView presented evidence why it doesn't apply. The board ultimately didn't apply it. So the board's already considered, said it's not there. It was also not raised on cross appeal to this court. So SoftView said that it's not applicable and it wasn't raised by appellees. Second, with respect to HTML4, first of all, HTML, there was never a standard HTML 1.0. When PAD++, with Ben Peterson and his cohorts were working on PAD++, at that same time, HTML 2.0 was being developed by Netscape and by Microsoft. And then in August of 1995, it was the first HTML standard to issue. PAD++ by 1998 didn't even approximate supporting HTML 2.0. And in 1998, Ben Peterson acknowledged they abandoned using the PAD++ browser because the web had advanced greatly between 1995 and 1998. And they didn't want to, compete with the browser companies such as Netscape and Microsoft. Also, it's the difference in terms of the what would necessary to implement HTML4 and with CSS. You got to have at least CSS1 in there for the claim. PAD++ had 5,000 lines of code. Mozilla's rendering engine had on the order of 1 million lines of code. Mozilla, as testified by Wolf, took 50 plus man years to implement this. Microsoft had just even worse problems implementing the CSS box model, which is fundamental to CSS, as documented on the Wikipedia page that's cited in the briefs. Whereas they couldn't even get the box model to work until probably the first version they had it working right was in Internet Explorer 6.0 in August of 2001. But they had great difficulties as well. And SoftView argues that there's no evidence whatsoever, no substantial evidence that a person of ordinary skill in the art at the time of the invention could have looked at the HTML 4.0 specification, could have looked at the PAD++ references, and could have implemented on a mobile device a browser that supported HTML 4 and at least CSS 1, as the claims require CSS. And I finally want to note that the CSS in the claims is cascading style sheets per CSS 1 and CSS 2. It's not just something that is a cascading style sheet.
Counsel, all. As you can see, your time has expired, and we will take the case under submission. That concludes today's arguments.